This Augusta Golf Show podcast is brought to you by Gerald Jones Audi. Inspire design, where emotion takes shape. 4022 Washington Road in Martinez.
Here at Audi, we have some good news to share with the world. Unfortunately, our good news is bad news for our competition. So to soften the blow, we brought in the very best at delivering bad news. Someone's mom.
The Audi A4 is the biggest, fastest, most fuel-efficient car in its class. Oh, honey, I know it's hard to hear, but it'll be okay.
I'm David Jones, inviting you to test drive an impressive new Audi A4 Premium today at Gerald Jones Audi, 4022 Washington Road in Martinez, or visit us on the web at GeraldJonesAudi.com. Audi. Truth in engineering.
Rich Lerner has been a part of just about every major event Golf Channel has covered since he joined the network. He will anchor the network's coverage of Drive, Chip, and Putt at Augusta National the Sunday before the Masters. It's a pleasure to welcome Rich Lerner back to the Augusta Golf Show. Hi, Rich.
John, good to be with you.
When the chairman announced Drive, Chip, and Putt, it sounded like a wonderful idea. Did you have any idea that it would be received, accepted, and embraced the way it's been?
I don't think anybody could have seen this. But I will say this, John, and I think you know as well as anybody, when Augusta National wants to do something, when they want to stage an event, whether it's to the Gap Championship or the brand new, and I was just out in Argentina, the brand new Latin America Amateur Championship, when they want to stage any event, they leave no stone unturned, and they do it better than anyone. Now, we need to point out, and they would want us to, this is not simply an Augusta National Golf Club initiative. It's a joint initiative with the United States Golf Association and the PGA of America. And with that in mind, I think it is time that we tip our Hogan cap to the powers that be, the governing bodies and Augusta National Golf Club, the powers that be in this game, for putting soft spikes on the ground and putting some real honest effort behind this effort game. And they're doing it around the world. I was just there in outside of Buenos Aires. This is a concerted effort. It's real. There were, I don't know how many, a dozen or more members there in Buenos Aires for the whole week. The RNA, which is not a part of the Drive, Chip, and Putt, but is a part of growing the game, they're taking money from the Open Championship profits and pouring some of those monies back into grassroots projects in places like Bolivia and Peru, 9-hole courses with driving ranges. So there is a deal of consternation. You read about it in the Wall Street Journal, wherever, about the next generation and what's golf's future and how are we going to grow the game. Well, Chairman Payne likes to say, we don't measure it in raw numbers. We measure it in smiles on the faces of young golfers. And that's what we saw at Drive, Chip, and Putt last year. You saw the inherent goodness in the game. You saw how it brings families together. You saw how it linked the generations just in the game on that one Sunday with Bubba Watson out there, with Adam Scott out there, with any number of players. They were there to just help and be reminded that it's still a game. It's a kid's game. It's a fun game. And, you know, I spoke to Bubba in New York earlier this week, and I really believe, and he agrees with this, that Bubba opened himself up on that Sunday of the Drive, Chip, and Putt to all of the goodness this game has to offer. Through the eyes of youngsters, he opened himself up to that goodness, and it flowed the rest of the week. He was just in a great frame of mind. And Bubba was telling the story of why he came out on that Sunday. And by the way, Bubba could be, and he is, and has been, a great advocate for junior golf, growing the game. Very powerful voice. People identify with Bubba. Bubba was at home, the house they were staying at Augusta, you know, to start the week on that Sunday, and Angie and little boy Caleb. And Bubba says he turns on, you know, 8 in the morning, and he turns to Angie and says, what are we doing here? And this is, it's unbelievable. We need to get out there. Bubba came out. to answer your original question, which is, you know, could we have seen this? No. But very quickly on that Sunday, you felt this momentum. You felt in your bones, this is right. This is good. And you seized on that. And Bubba went out. When you saw on the grounds introduce himself to the young golfers, then it became magical. And the reaction of the kids and the fist pumping, the putt on 18 green, it just kept going and it didn't stop, and it was just 4 or 5 hours of pure goodness. And I know sometimes in this sport, John, we like to wrap ourselves in that kind of feeling, and sometimes maybe it's not genuine, and we're trying to force that. This was real. This was authentic, and it was. And I think Peter Jacobson, who did the broadcast with me, and a number of others, Peter would agree with this. It was one of the best days of the year for us. I mean, I felt that way coming out of it, and I can't wait to get back there and you know, see it and feel it. And it was a privilege to be a part of it.
We are talking with Rich Lerner from Golf Channel. Let's talk about the tournament for a moment. I know how you feel and have felt about Tiger Woods and what we've all been privileged to see over the last 15, 16, 17 years. What are your thoughts when you see him struggling like this?
It's hard to fathom. He went from trying to break Jack's record to trying to hit a simple chip shot. I mean, it's not so much that he's struggling, it's what he's struggling to do, the most rudimentary elements of the game. And I'm not in the minority here. I mean, this is no longer, it's a physical issue. It's not simply a physical issue. There's something much deeper at work here. What that is, we don't know. I think, you know, Tiger is deserving of some empathy, I feel, you know, just based on the fact that anybody could lose it in whatever realm you work in or exist in. I think we all know that it's possible to have lost our way. And how does he get it back is the question. That's difficult. I would suspect, and we're working on a story for the Masters and talking to some experts. It will require some inner work, peeling away the layers to get a sense of what's happened in his life and what makes him happy. And it may take time. It may not be on our timetable. I think, you know, a return at Augusta is risky because, you know, just, you know, the amount of attention that will be on him, you know, is suffocating possibly, and to try to hit chip shots, a golf course, as you know, is so exacting in that area, you would presume would be very difficult to do. But I think we all hope that he comes back. I have my doubts. Boy, it's hard to take stock of all that's happened, but you know, it's been a rough period, and if this is it, if we've seen the best of Tiger, and I mean, I think we can safely say he's not going to come back and win five times a year. I wouldn't rule out winning again. I just wouldn't do that at this point, not when you see someone like Padraig Harrington come back from the depths and win at 43. I think then you'd just sort of be foolish to write Tiger off completely. But if we've seen the best of Tiger, then man, what a run it's been, what a run it was. And hard to believe it's been 10 years. Yeah. Since he won a Masters, right? 10th anniversary. And that was sort of like, I mean, that was the height of his, for lack of a better phrase, his tigerness. You know, he was the ultimate magician. He was able to tap into some power out there, and he could make golf balls disappear. And he did it on the 16th hole on that Sunday, and Bern Lunk was famous calling your life, have you ever seen anything like this? And the answer is no. And you think, wait a minute, we have, because he did it all the time. And that became, well, what I think is hard here is the expectation that he set, the bar that he set is so high. You know, the expectation was magic, okay? I'm going to see the magician, and I expect him to make things disappear. If that's what your expectation is when you go to see that show. He did it for 10 years. That's all he did. Never disappointed. And there must be just unbelievable pressure to live up to that, to have to come back to that. So I think if, you know, if Tiger can redefine what success is, maybe it'll work for him. But I don't think that we're going to see what we saw in 05. That was otherworldly. And what a saga, right? From 97, winning the Masters, to today. You'd be hard pressed to script it in Hollywood, and it has a lot of layers. I mean, you know, he was a child prodigy, and who knows what comes with that territory, and then he had his issues. Although he's not the first person to, you know, to have stumbled in some respect, but he's had our attention, that's for sure. In the high times and the low times, he's absolutely captivated everyone's attention. I think golf's starting to move on a little bit. I mean, again, there's no choice. You know, we don't stop the tournaments because Tiger's not there, obviously. So, and I think the big story is obviously is Rory. You know, it's kind of strange, John. I don't know what you think. Like, if Tiger comes back, that becomes the dominant story for the early part of the week, and in a way, I've seen where Paul McGinley has said that would be good for Rory. It would take some of the heat off of him in the chase for the Grand Slam. Mm-hmm. But in another way, it can be somewhat of a negative in that Tiger just sort of, through no fault of his own, but he just sort of dominates the coverage until such time as he's not there, whether he misses the cut or what have you. So, you know, selfishly, you know, television, I think, wants him back because he drives the ratings. But then you know that, man, you know, it's going to be at the expense. The coverage could be at the expense of a lot of other really compelling stories. And obviously, you know, top of that list is McIlroy. And then you've got some really nice sentimental farewells with Ben Crenshaw, and we'll remember what happened in 95, 20 years ago, and there's Tom Watson saying goodbye, and Jordan Spieth is there, and Dustin Johnson, a possible, you know, comeback, a total comeback, winning a major. I mean, there are just a lot of really good things happening. But if Tiger's there, then, you know, it's a different ballgame.
Well, I know you're busy. I know there's a lot going on. I deeply appreciate you taking the time to do this, Rich, and I look forward to seeing you in a couple of weeks.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate the time.